Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Zenda Brooke, and this is Opening Perspective. I want to thank all of my listeners who have been writing in, and all of you are here today. It has just been such an incredible experience to be able to bring this information to you. The show Opening Perspective is dedicated to changing the inner sense of hope and knowing in your life, so that you can rise to the exciting needs of our planet today. Opening Perspective is engaged in thought-provoking ideas, conversation, and topics that open up each and every person's unique divine purpose. It is in everyone's divine right, in my opinion, to experience the most joyful, compassionate, and loving expression of themselves. And many of us have lost our ability to accomplish this in our daily lives. But we all have moments of grace. And how we expand those moments into a lifetime of beauty and contribution is what this program is standing for. I, as I said, am your host, Zenda Brooke, and today's show is on the topic of suffering and joy. Now, suffering is a very, very interesting thing in our lives. We can have massive amounts of suffering when we lose someone that we love or when we're going through a challenging situation like having lost our jobs or not being able to make it financially, or we can have the deep level of suffering that comes from our relationships. Sometimes our most cherished and loving people in our lives causes us the deepest amount of suffering, whether that be a loved one that we're in a romantic relationship with or a family relationship with. And what I would like to do is I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the perspective that you could hold around suffering that will begin to release it in your life. But before I do that, I would like to talk to you about a contest that we're running. You see, we have this incredible music that we really have loved, but it's too loud, and I can't seem to get it to work on the Blog Talk Radio system. And so what we're doing is we are going to have a contest that will last for the next 6 weeks. And this contest is to help us find a 10 to 15 second intro into this show that fits with the theme and the topic and the vivaciousness that I feel it should have. It's totally open as to what you think as far as creativity goes. It's going to go on until March 20th, and you can enter your suggestions, and we can help you figure out how to load them up or how to send them to us. But you can enter your suggestions at radio@internalguidancesystem.com, and the winner will receive a one-year exclusive media membership to our website, where there's over 70 hours worth of topic-based instructional calls that you can use to lead you through your expansion and development of your IGS and open up your ability to have an incredible life. We will also give you a set of our Power Manifestation CDs, which is a 4-CD set that shows you how your thoughts create your reality, and not in like the Secret kind of way, which The Secret was a great movie, but this is like, what are the 4 types of thoughts that your brain produces? How do they create in the actual world? And then how you can get in touch with them so that you can create what you do want. I've had phenomenal success with my clients in this. And then last but not least, you'll also receive our 6 seminar series, which goes deeply into developing the internal guidance system and gives you all the distinctions and practices that you'll need to get a minimum competency of this work. And so we really, really, really want an incredible sound brand for an entry and exit out of this show. Like I said, it's about 10 to 15 seconds, and you can submit your interest to radio@internalguidancesystem.com. Let us know that you're looking at it so we can kind of check back with you and let us know if we can help you. You can ask us questions. You can get sound bites from me. We can give you the music that we had playing earlier so you can slice and dice that, whatever you'd like to do. So with that said, we're going to move on to talking about suffering. I remember quite a long time ago hearing this story that affected the way that I utilize perspectives in my life. The story goes like this. There was this Chinese man who had a son, and he had a horse ranch. And he had a whole herd of mares, female horses. And one day, this incredible wild stallion, this absolutely gorgeous specimen of an animal showed up. And the villagers came and saw this horse and was just like, wow, what a lucky man you are. this is a beautiful, beautiful stallion that you're going to get to breed your mares to that will provide you with incredible worth from your horse, for your baby horses. And the Chinese man looked at him and said, looked at the villagers and said, maybe, maybe not. And the next day he woke up and the stallion had kicked down the fence and taken all the mares and run off into the hills. And the villagers witnessed this and said, oh my gosh, well, how unlucky you are. You're so unlucky. The stallion came and stole all of your mares. And the Chinese farmer said, maybe, maybe not. And then the next day, his son went up into the hills and caught the stallion and brought him back down. And with him, the stallion had another additional 20 or 30 mares that increased the size of the farmer's herd by almost double. And the villagers was like, oh, how incredible. What an incredibly lucky man you are. Now your herd is doubled in size and you have a beautiful stallion to breed all these animals to. The farmer said, maybe, maybe not. Day after that, while the sun was trying to break the stallion threw him. He broke his son's arm. Now he had no support and no help on the ranch for a good couple of months. And the villager said, oh, how unlucky you are. Now you have no one to help you with your farm. You have no one to help you with your horses. What are you going to do? You're so unlucky. And the farmer looked at him and said, maybe, maybe not. The next day, the Chinese army came through and they took all the young men in the village. But his son was useless for war, so they left him with his father. It's kind of how it is in our life. We have all of these various things racing around in our minds, all these stories about what's good, what's bad, what makes us good and bad, what makes our lives good and bad. And it's kind of throws us from one side to the other based on the meaning that we put to the circumstances that we're witnessing in our life and the stories that we tell ourselves about them. I'm in debt, so I'm a bad person. I can't make it on my own. I'm embarrassed. It's horrible. I have more going on my credit card. Then you get into this deep level of suffering around the debt. Or I have this great, amazing, beautiful relationship. Everything's going great. I'm on cloud nine, and it's just fantastic. And then flips again. You get in a fight with your partner and things get a little rough. And all of a sudden, this is the worst that I've ever experienced in my whole life. We're never going to make it. I'm going to end up breaking up with my partner. This is not the person for me. The interesting thing is if we could hold a little bit of a perspective around the maybe, maybe not. And let me tell you how to do that. You see, what I have found from my own experience, and really that's what I have, is my own experience with myself and people that I've worked with, is that all of our suffering comes directly from the stories that we tell ourselves. And it is more than the stories that we tell ourselves in our minds that we've made up about ourselves and our relatives and our friends and our family. More than that, it's about the actual meaning that we put into it. And that meaning is what creates suffering or joy in our life. And let me give you just a quick example. I want you to think about your life right now, and I want you to think of something that's causing you a level of suffering. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you don't have the body that you want, or maybe you're in constant pain. Maybe it's a relationship that you have in your life, or relationships, plural, work relationships or family relationships. Maybe there's someone in your immediate life that you're connected to and that you love deeply that is really not doing well. They could be addicted to drugs, or they could be going through a divorce, or they could have lost a family member, a child, and you're witnessing their suffering and suffering with them. Maybe it's a work situation that's absolutely unbearable. Really think about it for just a minute. Let yourself go into that place where you're giving yourself meaning about what that means and what that means about the level of joy you have access to on any given moment. Now I want you to think about winning $18 million in the lottery. Think about what you could do with that money. How that money in itself could shift the suffering that you just talked about. It may not be able to bring someone who's passed away back to life, but it sure could create ease. It sure could create a space for that person to heal in a way that's relaxed and easy and really give them time to recover from their situation. It could give you a new job. It could change your whole entire body with the ability that you would have to eat better and exercise and do things in a different way for yourself. It really doesn't matter whether it's real that you've won the lottery or not. What really matters is the thought of winning the lottery and the thoughts that precede that of what that would mean for your life is what begins to create excitement and joy. It's not that whether it exists or not. Now, this is the mindset that many of the gurus and the monks and the people who are spiritual teachers who have really reached a level of enlightenment and self-actualization talk about. Eckhart Tolle talks about the pain body and how we're consistently creating the pain body in our lives, and that this pain body that exists is a habitual way of being and thinking. And that habitual way of being and thinking comes from the stories that we give meaning to. And if you change the meaning of the story, you change your experience of your emotional state. You can actually play with this and watch your body respond to the biochemical feedback that the mind is producing in your cellular level. I mean, literally, you think of this and you get excited, and certain hormones and chemicals and things are exuded out of your beingness, and you think of a different thing, and other chemicals and hormones and are exuded out of your beingness. And both have a different effect, whether it be stress and worry and anger and anxiety and bitterness and grief in closing way, or whether it be joy, love, happiness, relaxation, ease, comfort, confidence, self-esteem. And so suffering in itself suddenly becomes an unconscious choice that we're making in a direction on any given day. And if you have an unconscious choice, you can shift that to a conscious choice by witnessing the meaning of the story you're running about whatever situation is that you're thinking about. I read this great book by James Twyman. I think it was called Emissaries of Light. I'm not quite positive, but I'm pretty positive that that was the name. You can check it out at jamestwyman.com. And it's a nice book. It's a nice little book, and it's really fun and interesting, and it's got some great principles to it. But I think what was most important to me is that there was this wise character who said in the book, do not seek peace. Find peace. What I'm witnessing is that so many people are seeking. Seeking to have a better life, seeking to change the way that they do relationships, seeking to feel better about themselves, seeking to have a way of making more money. It's all in the seeking. Well, if you're constantly seeking, you're never finding. It really is truth, absolute truth, that in every moment, regardless of how challenging it may seem in your mind, and of course, I'm not referring to extreme situations of torture or murder or war or things, but in for the most of us I would say 99.99% of us that would be listening to this broadcast, in every moment, you could find peace, you could find happiness, you could find joy. There is gratefulness. There is a lot to be thankful for. It's in finding those moments. It's also in taking on a new perspective about what is bad and good. I've had moments in my life where I thought the most incredible thing was happening, and it turned out to be the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I have things that I thought were going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me, that turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. I'll give you an example. I was living with a roommate, and it was just time to move out, and we couldn't move out. We had been dating, and we became friends, and it was in the height of the San Francisco real estate boom at the turn of the quarter here. It's year 2000, and the apartments in the area were just extraordinarily expensive. I mean, ridiculous, like $2,000 for a one-bedroom in a shared loft, you know, kind of thing. It was just ridiculous. And then when you would go, they would have people lined up around the block for that one apartment. And I was looking, and I ended up being in this place that I didn't want to be in for like 6 months. I finally find a perfect place that I can afford that will take me and my lovely cat. I move in with this guy, Craig. I'm there for about 3 weeks. And he comes home one day and says, my company's closing down. I've decided I'm going traveling for a year. I'm leaving in 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to find another place to live. The landlord's never going to let you live here, and I've been here for 6 years. So if he does decide to let you live here, he's going to raise the rent because he can get it. And I was just floored. And I remember walking into my room and sitting down, and I remembered the story of the Chinese farmer. And I thought to myself, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. I really liked my roommate, and I really loved the apartment. But maybe, just maybe, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I decided, to heck with that. This is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I remember walking back downstairs, completely and totally open in my IGS, thrilled at how I felt about it. And I looked at Craig, and I said, Craig, this is just great. I don't know how, but this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And he looked at me floored. He's like, you're not mad? I said, no, I mean, it's a shock. I have no idea what's going to happen, and I can't predict anything. And, of course, all of me through all this torment that I went through trying to find an apartment is curious. This is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I put an ad on Craigslist for a roommate, and the first person that showed up ended up being my roommate, my little brother, my dear confidant. He introduced me into this incredible community worth of people in San Francisco and the Bay Area that changed my life forever, brought about deep friendships, exciting opportunities. I can't tell you how fantastic my life was from this shift. It was just like being able to redo high school in the best possible way. I just met like literally 150 incredible people that I got to be with and explore and do business with, and really encouraged me to create this work, held me, supported me, told me that I could do it. Now, if honestly, my roommate hadn't moved out, and he hadn't moved out when he did, my friend Jason would have found another place to live. I would have never had that experience necessarily. Now, of course, there's destiny, and I may have belonged to be there, but in every moment of your life, there are things happening that you're looking at as being the worst thing that ever happened to you or the best thing that ever happened to you, and you really don't know. And your internal state and who you are, whether you have suffering or whether you have joy, is 100% up to you. It is not some subjective thing that you have no control over. It is up to you, the perspective that you take, and whether that perspective opens you. Now, if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to the other four shows that we've done here at Blog Talk Radio, and by the way, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio because I am just so thrilled with their service and who they are. They are just absolutely an incredible company. But if you haven't listened, the last show we did was on hope, delusion, and faith. And the one before that was fear. And I really believe that if you are interested in taking control of whether you're in suffering or joy in your life, that those two shows offer a very powerful perspective, tools, and comprehension that can allow you to step into this idea of having choice over your joy that can never be taken away from you. Once you cultivate this practice of witnessing what meaning you're giving to life and your thoughts, and whether that meaning is causing you suffering or causing you joy, and you practice it, there's a stability that begins to arise, an important stability. So please listen to those two shows if you haven't already so that you can get a context, because I'm not talking about some fly-by-night situation where you kind of feel good sometimes, and I'm just hoping that you're going to be able to hold the thoughts that you need to be joyful. I'm actually talking about the fact that you have the power. So what I want to do is I want to go a little bit out on a limb here. And before I do that, I'm going to, we have our chat room going, and I am going to go ahead and talk to Brucher K. It says, hey, Zen, did you use your IGS in the apartment? Example. I sure did. Actually, before I moved in with Craig, I want to say that before I moved into the apartment, it opened me in my IGS to take that apartment. And it was actually a little bit more expensive than what I could afford, but I kept opening that it was going to be absolutely okay. And what ended up happening was, it opened me when I said that this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me, and I totally followed my IGS. I wouldn't follow it. It could have closed me that it wasn't going to be the best thing. And what ended up happening is that I had been paying a little bit more rent than my roommate because he had been there longer, and when my new roommate moved in, it evened out that balance. We split it 50-50, and it actually brought my rent directly down to what I could afford and had planned on spending in the beginning. So it actually turned out to be, I mean, just amazing all the way around. And there was one other thing. The only thing that I was unhappy about, Craig, is he had his own cat, and that cat clawed the furniture. And she had just started to claw my couch that I had moved into the apartment, and the cat went with him. And so everything just worked out to be absolutely beautiful. All right. So I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here, and I want to talk a little bit about suffering from a different context, from more of a human consciousness, spiritual context of what suffering is today. So that way, because suffering is when you're in it, and when someone else is in it, it is like a downward spiral. You know, suffering begets suffering, and it's even hard to be joyous around someone who's suffering. It's like an attractor field that pulls you into it. So if you don't have a context or a perspective on what suffering means on a global, you know, universal spiritual level, then it can be more challenging for you to even like start to take the action to pull yourself out of suffering. And so this is my perspective. This is not something that I'm you know, I have a lot of faith in it. It's supported me throughout the years in creating extreme joy in my life. And I mean extreme joy. Joy that's like so powerful and amazing, it moves mountains, in my opinion. So where I see we are and what's going on with suffering on the planet today is that the human race, human consciousness, humanity itself is engaged in awakening to its spiritual consciousness. And because of the way that the mind is and the way that it reacts, and that our ego reacts to the collection of stories and meanings that we've given everything, we've gone pretty unconscious. We're pretty unaware on a regular basis, most of us, of our spiritual level of experience that's happening. And it's time to wake up. We have to wake up. I mean, there is just no doubt in my mind that we cannot continue to be unconscious as we are, go about consuming in mass quantities and throwing away in mass quantities and doing war and having violence and in the internal suffering, depression, anger, the unhealthy physical bodies. We just cannot continue to be who we're being and survive. So we're in the middle of a wake-up call, a wake-up call that's been going on for a couple hundred years. And honestly, and the situation is this: for some reason, the way that our minds work and our egos work, we've chosen suffering as the alarm bell to awaken us. We could have chosen pleasure, we could have chosen a different route, but we've really chosen suffering as a wake-up call. You know, when I really get down on my hands and knees and pray, or my knees in prayer, I should say, but, you know, with my hands in prayer position and on the side of the bed and going, God, help me, is really when I'm in surrender, is really when there's a level of suffering going on about something. When I don't know, when I'm in confusion, when I just am completely lost. When life is going great and everything's fine and I'm tootling along, yes, I still pray and yes, I still have a spiritual connection. But really what moves me to change, what moves me in my relationships to become a different woman, what moves me in my experiences, you know, when I was a CEO, for instance, it was the suffering that I felt that I just couldn't seem to communicate with my team in a way that was supportive and uplifting. I couldn't, I was at a blind spot about my leadership capability. And you know what? I went out and found and searched and found a new way to communicate. I shifted my being so that I could be the leader that I knew they deserved. That wouldn't have happened if everything was going along great, and most everything in my life that I've taken on to shift who I am being has come from a level of suffering. With my finances, I get into a level of suffering around finances, and what happens? I start making changes. I learn QuickBooks. I start creating budgets. I start figuring out what needs to be done. I get out of being unconscious about my spending, and I come into a spending plan that works. If you look around at your life in all the areas of suffering, which many, many, many people turn into blame and victimization, what you may find for yourself as well is that suffering is your own personal wake-up call, that there's something different that's being called forth from you in the situations that you're in. And that suffering is a choice. And that when you feel those stories going on, it could be that you have a story going on about your, you know, team member at work. How you're doing all the work and you're unappreciated and you're being disrespected. Nobody's grateful for what you're doing. Somebody else is getting all the credit. You're not making enough money. You're working too hard. You're not seeing your family. All these thoughts, when you begin to have them, if they're not truth and they don't open you, they will cause suffering. They will take away your joy. They will rob your joy, literally. And you know what? It's you robbing your joy. And what you begin to do is, what do I need to do different here? How do I need to speak up for myself? How do I need to represent the work that I'm doing? How am I not asking for what I want? How am I not taking myself seriously? Where am I not being appreciative of others? Where am I being disrespectful of myself or others? Where is it that my life is out of balance that I'm engaged in this? Take that same conversation about your body. Your body begins to break down and hurt. Where am I in my suffering right now about my body, not taking care of my body, not taking my body seriously as something that is a temple, a vessel of my soul that I need to care for? See suffering as a trigger to awaken to something that you're unconscious about. See suffering as a gift and a choice that you can immediately have a different choice about. We're going to do a couple of practices that I want to tell you about to support you in being able to move forward and choosing joy more often. And it's a practice because I want to let you know that the meaning that your mind is generating about the stories of who you are and what your life is like and what your failures are and what your successes are and all these various things that make you feel either good about yourself or bad about yourself, good about your life or bad about your life, good about the world or bad about the world. All of these thoughts are coming from a story of what something that has a meaning attached to it, and it is the meaning that you're giving it. I lost my job. That means that I'm an unsuccessful person. I'm an unsuccessful person, just like, and you'd probably pop back into something in childhood, just like so-and-so said I was, and here it is again. Here it is again, proving that I'm an unsuccessful person. I've yet lost a job. And then you mull that over and you watch your body close, the IGS closes, you watch yourself go and begin to deal with people from that unsuccessful space, deal with yourself and the thoughts you have about yourself, treat yourself in a way that those thoughts and that meaning is created versus I lost my job. This wasn't the job for me, or that there was somebody else that needed that position and I'm intended to move on somewhere else and I'm excited to see where that's going to be, or the company couldn't afford me anymore, which means that we're redistributing the workforce on the planet yet again. I can't wait to see where I belong. Who needs me next? I think you're getting a little picture of that. There's a groove that we get our minds into. That groove is not necessarily you. It's just a habitual piece of software that your mind has created on how to react in certain situations. So this first practice that I'm going to give you, and then we're going to take a call soon. So I'm going to go ahead and give out the guest call-in number. The guest call-in number is 646-378-1741. 646-378-1741. And I just want to say that for all of you who said, I didn't call in last week because I was too interested in hearing what you had to say, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate so much that you desire to hear me speak. I think that's wonderful. I'm going to give out a practice. We've already got some callers calling in, and I'll take them in just a moment. But I want to talk to you about this one practice first. Like I said, suffering is a really challenging habit to change. It really feels like a downward spiral when you're in it. And it can take some diligence to say, no, I'm not going to do this to myself anymore. I'm not going to hold these thoughts that make me miserable. I'm going to look right now in this moment for what I'm grateful for. Sometimes for me, it's simply as, I'm so grateful my car is working. I'm so grateful to have gas in my tank. I'm so grateful the sun is shining. I'm so grateful that I can breathe easily and I don't have any obstruction in my lungs. I mean, there's all kinds of things on any given moment that you can be grateful for. But it's hard to move into that thinking when you've got something that comes down and your mind is throwing up every single reason in the world why everything is not going to be okay. So this is what you do. This is how you start. You start by relishing the simple pleasures in your life. You start by looking for joy when you're not in suffering. If you drink coffee in the morning, really love your coffee. And if you don't love your coffee, if you're drinking instant coffee and it's just something you chug down, maybe you should think about getting something so that every day you start something with something rich and lush that you love. It's worth the extra little tiny bit of money to sit there with a cup of coffee that you relish. If you have a favorite radio station, instead of thinking of the traffic, you relish the fact that you have some time to relax, going slow and listen to the radio or your favorite music or make that phone call to someone that you love that you haven't had an opportunity to connect with. I know a couple people use a headset, of course. I know a couple of people who schedule on their morning commutes calls with loved ones. They come to work totally joyous and refreshed. I know other people who are doing incredible projects, talking into tape recorders, these digital tape recorders, outlining these projects that they're going to be focused on after work or during the summer or planning a summer vacation and taking down ideas. And there's like ways that you can relish what you have. Instead of eating a lot, what you could do is eat something smaller that you absolutely love. Love the food that you're eating. Love the views. Many of us drive past beautiful views every day. And we never look at them. It was so great this morning. I was working out with my workout partner. We were walking and we're in Oakland and we looked out and she pointed over and she's like, look at the bay. Look at the sun coming up and hitting the Golden Gate Bridge. And I would have totally missed it because I was already on my way to coming here and making sure I was prepared for all of you. And we both just stood there with our arm around each other and just looked out in the bay for a second. And I was so grateful that I am attracting friends in my life who are as committed to joy and beauty as I am. Be inspiring to others. Point little things out to others. As you're walking out to the parking lot for lunchtime, listen and see if you hear any birds. Birds are singing the most beautiful, beautiful songs all throughout the day, and most of us don't even hear them. They become background noise like traffic now. My opinion is the more you engage in loving nature, the more nature is healed, the more joy you receive. So the practice to begin with is to start enjoying the simple pleasures. And I mean really enjoy. Don't just notice, oh, yeah, it's a good cup of coffee. Actually, like, smell the coffee, taste the coffee, feel the warmth on your hands. Really, really relish it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take caller. Caller, 323 area code, you're on the air. Are you there? Can you hear me? 323-708. I'm going to wait just one more second. Maybe the switchboard's not working again. I'm sorry if it is. I'm going to leave your mic open for just a second and see if you say hello. And if not, what I'm going to do is I'll have you call back. Okay, go ahead and call back if you want to. I'm going to hang up on you. Maybe you've already dropped off. All right. Now, some of the most powerful suffering that we have gone through in our lives comes from our school years. I mean, I don't know about you, but we, in at least in the United States, I know that we're starting to get some international listeners now from the community at internalguidancesystem.com, but we have literally the most challenging years of our lives are often between the ages of 12 and 18. I mean, our school years are so painful. Even the people that we think are having a great time and are the popular kids are actually miserable and just as miserable as we are. And there's an organization that I wanted to tell you about today because I love to bring you new information about incredible things that are happening on the planet, new perspectives that are being taken on, things that are shifting the entire way that we are doing life so that you can see that we are in the midst of an incredible human evolution that is going to change for us the world and that we really have everything at our fingertips to create paradise. And it's really in our choosing, which is the reason why we're talking about suffering, because we're witnessing suffering everywhere. And when you begin to realize how suffering and joy is a choice, and I don't mean coming up with some fanciful idea that doesn't really stick in your body and in your internal guidance system, but the real crux of how your thoughts are creating what you believe and think and feel inside, you'll begin to look at others in a different way and what they're choosing and how not that they're choosing it consciously, they're choosing it unconsciously, and what opportunities we have if we all begin to realize the power that we have over our own joy. And the organization that I want to tell you about, I believe, is helping to reconstruct some of the stories that have meaning that create massive suffering for all of us. And that organization is called Challenge Day. If you have not heard of Challenge Day or you're not in support of Challenge Day, I highly, highly, highly recommend, regardless of how old you are, whether you have kids or don't have kids, go to challengeday.org. challengeday.org and check out what they're doing. It is so beautiful. They have a school program that is eliminating bullying in junior high and high school. Can you imagine what it would have been like to never have been teased? To never have been isolated? Could you imagine what it would have been like to never be picked on for any part of you that others could find to tease, whether it be your name? You know, I was definitely teased when I was a kid for my name. I had a buck teeth, and I had they called me snaggle tooth because I had a chipped front right tooth. I was skinny as a rail, so they called me the zipper. I was a tomboy. So I used to get teased all the time, and, you know, I used to drive me crazy when people used to think that I was a boy. So I used to get teased for that. All of this, you know, started in my formative years where I was trying to figure out who I was and whether people liked me and what they liked me for or what they didn't like me for. And it creates a whole body of stories. And these stories, they are what, you know, creates pain for us. And when we walk around the corner and there's a group of people sitting there from you know, let's say the PTA or from our, you know, sitting at the water cooler, and they're all laughing and they look over at you, and those moments flash back into your life. And what Challenge Day does, and you got to really just check out the video that they've got there, is they get kids together. The bullies, the ruffians, the people that are picked on the most. Every school has one kid that is just the nerd that everyone picks on, you know, slaps their books out of their hands, all of that kind of thing. And they get them in a room, and they put them through a series. They separate them from their cliques. They bring the teachers in, too. Teachers go through the program, too. Parents, some of the parents will go through the programs, too, ones that are active in the school. They bring them in the room. They separate them from their cliques. And they start off with an exercise that's like, if you really knew me, you would know. And they go around in a circle in groups of four. If you really knew me, you would know that my dad is an alcoholic and yells at my mom every night. If you really knew me, you would know that, you know, I'm in a lot of pain because my brother is not doing well and has run away from our family. If you really knew me, and they go through this and they begin to show the commonalities and the deeper level of experience that all of the kids in school are going through. Then what they do is they get the kids all on one side of the room, and they put two lines out, one on the one side that they're in and one on in the middle of the room. And they say, if you have ever been teased for how short you are or how tall you are, please walk across the room. And a group of kids will walk across the room, and they'll say, look, now look at one another. And then they'll say, okay, everybody back across the line. If you've ever been teased because you're too fat, too thin, because you have freckles, because you have dark skin, because you have curly hair, because you have straight hair, please walk across the line. And they keep doing this, walking back and forth across the line. If you have ever been mean to somebody on campus because your friends were being mean and you thought it was wrong, but you did it anyways, please walk across the line. And they all start walking back and forth across this line, and they start witnessing the experience that they're all engaged in. Well, what the interesting part about this whole program is, not that it's happening like that. What's interesting is that they take on all together by the end of the day that they don't want this on their campus anymore, and they don't want this in their lives, and they take a stand against it. And what they're finding is that the kids lead these. They take a group of kids first, and they train them in how to lead it, and then the kids from the school choose the other kids that come into this course first. Choose the teachers and the parents that come into this course first. And then they lead and organize it. And then from that point forward, they're supported in organizing it. So it is a student-run movement to end bullying on campus. And then they begin taking on mentoring of younger kids so that they can have a history of ending bullying in the school system. They have a video of this on their site, and there's lots of ways for you to participate. But what's most beautiful, I think, is in the organization itself, witnessing the healing of all of the adults that are participating and the college-age kids that are participating, of the teasing and the put-downs and the challenging experience that we all are engaged in that create a whole group of suffering stories that we carry with us. I work with clients and coaching of them of all ages, and I have coaching clients in their 60s who we still run and find stories of causing suffering that go all the way back to high school and junior high. 60. How many years of reflection that has been for them? I just want to preface that there are many organizations that are bringing forward joy and removing suffering and shifting the stories and the meanings that those stories have brought into our lives out there. I'm going to try and get this caller on again. This is caller 323. I'm going to go ahead and bring you on the air. 323-708, you're on the air. Hello? Sorry for the pause here, everyone. This is actually, if this person, if I can get this person to work with this switchboard that I'm on, this is actually be our first caller. All right. Doesn't seem to be working. I'm going to hang in there. Don't hang up. I am going to turn off something here that's in my system. All right. On the air, caller? Doesn't look like I can get you on here. All right. I'm going to go ahead and keep talking. So, I'd like to thank everybody that's in our chat room today. And keep trying to get this poor caller on. If I can get the switch, what's actually happening here, it's not their fault, is that the switchboard itself is actually still saying that they're not actually on the air. So I'm not quite sure what to do with that. I'll have to continue to talk to Blog Talk Radio. I'm pretty sure it's probably user error. In any instance, what we have today is that I'm going to go and answer a question that came in this week. Now, if you want to ask me a question about the internal guidance system or any of the information that you have here, maybe you're someone who doesn't want to call in, or maybe it's that you'd like to be able to have your question answered. This is a question from a woman named Sylvia, and here's what Sylvia had to say. Thank you for your work. It's very easy to understand and follow. My question deals with not being in my body. Because of the experiences I have had, I have learned to shut off my feelings and anything that has to do with my body sensations. It's not an abuse situation. It's just that my feelings used to be so strong that I would have constant body reactions and feel like I'd actually have blown my wiring. After my divorce 10 years ago and the constant legal hassles during that whole time, it was either go insane or disengage and survive. How do I get back to, or can I get back to, being connected to myself again? I kind of like this state because I don't react strongly to people or situations, and it's actually rather peaceful. But I do want to feel my IGS. What would you suggest? It's actually really important for you to get back into an engaged place with your body. The importance of the situation has more to do with the fact that if you're not feeling your body, you're missing out on a huge part of life. Your body and the emotions and the sensations that you feel, not only are they a form of guidance by like using the internal guidance system as we've discussed, and for those of you who are new to the program, you could go to internalguidancesystem.com, and there I have a video that's about 5 minutes long of an experiential meditation that'll get you in touch with what your internal guidance system is. But in short, your internal guidance system is an expansion, contraction, and neutral in your body between your throat and stomach area. And this expansion and contraction is directly in relation to your thoughts, but it's completely separate, and it lets you know whether the thoughts you're having are in alignment, purposeful, on purpose, and truth or not. When there's an expansion, you're in alignment, you're on your purpose, and what you're thinking is truth. And when you're collapsed and constricted, which feels like stress, worry, and anxiety, and I venture and strongly say that stress, worry, and anxiety are the closing of your IGS every time. So if you're feeling stress, worry, and anxiety, it's literally your internal guidance system telling you the thoughts you're having are not true, not in alignment to be thinking, in other words, not getting you where you want to go, and not on your purpose, meaning your divine purpose, your destiny. It's not getting you any closer to that, what you're thinking. And this is what I do for a living, is I teach this work. You can check it out at powermanifestation.com. However, the video and a lot of what you want is at internalguidancesystem.com. Now back to Sylvia's question. It's actually quite important. This expansion and contraction is letting you know whether or not you're in your ego creating a story that has meaning that is not truth and causing you suffering and pain, or whether or not with the opening and expanded feeling, you can have faith and trust in what you're thinking and it's moving you towards what you truly desire, truly want, and is most in alignment for everyone around you, including yourself. And how you begin to get back into these sensations is the first thing that I recommend is that you want to. Our bodies really respond to our minds. You know, you can go and you can study all kinds of people's work. You know, Bernie Siegel and Candace Pert and Carolyn Meese, and there's all these people out now that have written books about, you know, how our thoughts and what we think in our minds create our physical ailments, our physical situation in our body. And I would even go further to say that this expansion and contraction is literally a barometer of how healthy or unhealthy you're being. If you have expanded opening sensations most of the time, you are filled with the kind of energy that creates health on a cellular level in your body. And when you're, if you're contracted in stress and worry and fear, you're in this contracted state that actually sucks energy out of your cells and creates dis-ease in your body. They say that stress is the number one killer. It leads to all of these other elements. So it's incredibly important that you keep yourself in an open state and that you monitor your thoughts and choose perspectives that are in alignment, truth, and on your purpose. It is a very powerful experience. So the first thing that you need to do is choose. The body always comes into alignment with what your mind is thinking and what you intend. So start by being in a relaxed state. I like to say with both feet on the floor, breathing, feeling what it feels like to breathe, to expand your lungs and relax your lungs, and hold the thought, I desire to feel my body. I desire to be in my body. I desire to comfortably and joyfully experience the feelings and sensations I have in my body. And you can say that any way you want. I don't have any special words for it. It really is the words that open you that are the most important. Whatever feels really good for you to say, you'll find the right words. And if the words that you're using in your intention don't feel good, keep finding words until you feel that open, expanded feeling in your chest of like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's the phrase that's for me. So start with the intention. I want to be in my body. From there, Sylvia, what you need to do is that you need to separate, and there's a whole, I don't mean to tell you, but honestly, the best way to do this is we have a whole course that we've created. It's at, we sell it at powermanifestation.com. It's emotions versus sensations. Our emotions come from our thoughts. So the energy, and I outline how to tell the difference between emotions and sensations. The energy of emotions is not the same thing as the sensations of your IGS. And the energy of emotions is a biochemical reaction that's based on the meaning to the stories we tell ourselves. And once you learn to separate the meanings of a story that's not real, even though the energy is, from the sensations of the IGS, what you begin to do, is this is how you get back into your body, just start by feeling what it feels like to breathe and feeling the sensations of your body. My hands feel cold. And you actually name it with your mind. My hands feel cold. They feel dry. They feel tingly. I feel a tenseness in my neck. And just kind of on a regular basis, you know, once a day, twice a day, when you wake up or when you go to sleep, from the top of your head down to the bottom of your feet, you just kind of do a scan and you name what your sensation in the body is. My eyes are tired. I have a tightening in my neck. My jaw is tight. It's kind of a challenging to breathe right now. I'm feeling, you know, my shoulders feel tight, you know, and you just kind of go down your body. I feel cold. I feel a tingly here. The more that you actually consciously put your mind back on the sensations that your body is feeling, and if you do this as a practice once or twice a day, it literally only has to take 60 to 90 seconds to just slowly scan your body and pay attention to what it is experiencing. The more that you begin to move back into your body slowly and surely, you'll start recognizing when you're feeling a little pain here, when you're feeling out there. Then what you want to do is step two. And depending on when you feel comfortable, you know, the blown my wiring experience, depending on when you really feel comfortable, then you begin to utilize the same technique with your emotions. So what that would look like is you do not want to get into the story or the meaning. What are you feeling, right, with your emotions? You don't want it to sound like this. I'm feeling taken advantage of. I'm feeling disrespected. I'm feeling, that's a story. Whether that person's disrespecting you or not, you don't know for sure. They could be in their own head, most likely they're in their own head about their own story. But naming it in the context of what they're doing to you, putting victimization or blame on it, I'm angry because they're not doing what I asked them to do, I'm angry because they didn't live up to their agreements, that is not what I'm talking about here. That will not connect you further, and what that actually does is that either builds emotion in one way or another. You're actually building the energy of emotion in your body when you create the meaning of the story in that way. So instead what you do is you go back to the body sensations that the energy of emotion is producing, and you stay away as best you can, and you have to monitor your own self as best you can from the story and the meaning you're providing it. So it sounds like something like this. My throat feels tight. I feel like I can't breathe. There's a heat in my forehead. My mouth is dry. My tongue feels thick. I feel sick to my stomach. I have a pain in my lower back. There is a rush of heat kind of energy moving through my body. There's a pressure in my solar plexus. I have a pressure in the back of my head. And you just kind of scan the sensation that's occurring in the body in connection to the story that the mind is going off on. And what that does is one, it creates a safe container. Because there's no story. The story is what is unsafe. The meaning of the story is what becomes unsafe. That's what takes us off center. That's what throws us into a kilter where we become idiots and ridiculous. It doesn't matter whether you're in love or what, you know, and it's great emotions. You can still become, you know, go crazy and do silly things and make a fool of yourself. Or whether it's anger or jealousy or bitterness or contempt or whatever, you can still go crazy and off-center and do silly things because the emotion leads you there. The energy, once it gets going, it rolls you off into a direction. And in order to bring that back into a space and a sense of being that works for you, what you need to do, or what's important to do, is stay with the body and the sensations and stay out of the story as much as possible. Now, there's an interesting thing that happens, okay? So thank you, Sylvia, for your question. That's what I would recommend that you do, is you start off with the practice of having the intention that you want to feel your body again and really having that in an opening way that you can feel in your IGS. Step two would be to just in a regular state twice a day. I like to do it in the, because this really heightens your ability to develop your IGS. You have the morning scanning and then you have the, you know, late evening scan. And then last but not least, as you're getting more into emotional state and you're feeling safe and scanning your body, you just stay with the sensations of your emotions, not the story. And what ends up happening is there's kind of a double whammy here. One, it's a very safe way to handle your emotions because you're not blaming anyone, you're not lashing out. All you're doing is staying with your present reality. And as you stay with your present reality of the actual physical sensations, the story begins to go away because your mind begins focusing on the body and the emotion begins to die down and you don't get the blown wire effect. So it's a very solid way to bring yourself back into emotional stability. It's also a very solid way to get in touch with your body so that you become equipped in a very short period of time. Depending on your level of diligence, it could take you 2 weeks to 6 months to have real solid mastery of your bodily experience in different situations, which is what it takes to have profound leadership ability in various high-stress situations. Thank you, Sylvia. So there is that. And we're coming to the end of our show today. I want to thank you so much. I really, truly, truly hope you take on the concept of suffering and joy as choice and look at the way that your mind develops and creates suffering in your life. And once again, I'm going to go on and I'm going to try and figure out why I can't seem to take callers. I love that 323. Thank you for calling. I'm so sorry I didn't get to talk to you. And then we have a free teleseminar that we're offering, and it is the Your Internal World. It's series one in our IGS Basics teleseminar series. We're going to give this away free, this replay, this course, and with the workbook to the first 20 people that email radio@internalguidancesystem.com, and we'll send you a coupon to have a free download of Your Internal World. We're going to keep this offer out there until February 14th for anybody that wants it. And all you need to do, like I said, is email radio@internalguidancesystem.com, and we will send you the coupon so that you can sign up. We'll also send you information about our email list if you're interested in getting other free offers and notifications of other courses we're doing and live seminars and other fun stuff that we've got going on. We've got some great stuff. Thanks, everyone, and goodbye.